Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
All right. We got all kinds of stuff to get to today. And I'm late because we were talking to Josh. Happens every show. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on, you magnificent bitches, for Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Raybould, Lord Voldemort. You want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. Same as the main number. You can watch us on the Twitch channel. And just get in there. Comment there. Be happy to read the good ones. Get a lot of good ones from Twitch. It's a Tuesday. Usually everybody's in a bad mood. Well, I'm in a bad mood, so what the hell? Let's just...
Are you in a bad mood?
Nothing good ever happens on a Tuesday. How many times have I said that?
I know, but you're always like, I don't care. I'm coming in. I'm in a good mood.
Well, I'm bummed. I'm not in a bad mood. I'm just bummed because Gulf Greyhound Park is shutting down for good. And as a matter of fact, this is kind of an ethical issue. Because my brother texted me to say, hey, we're shutting down. And my first thought was, what, you mean... for a second time for the Rona here. And he goes, no, for good. We're gone. And then I started thinking, you know, I really should write this story for Sports Map because that's kind of a big deal. I've been there 28 years. And so then I had to text him back and say, hey, man, is it okay if I write this? Because I kind of feel like it's a little scuzzy, right? But no, he was cool.
Why is it scuzzy?
Well, I mean, you know, he's trying to talk to me about how, you know, he's lost his job and how bummed he is.
Why don't you? You should have given him like $10 to write it for Sports Map himself.
Yeah, well,
throw him a bone.
Yeah, but I wrote the story, but it's and this is before your time because I mean the place opened in 1992. You were like three, but there was a time when it opened. It was the place to be. It was totally packed every night, and best dogs were here and big time gamblers from all over the country came here. And those first few years, man, it was huge. And then just kind of fell off. And then the last few years, you know, we were down there a couple times when they were doing live racing and it just, and the place got beat up by Ike in 2008. And the real problem is the state legislature is more interested in pumping money into Louisiana, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and New Mexico than they are Texas. Because they all take money from those neighboring racetracks who also have casinos. And the tracks here have been trying to get those for years. And nope. It's like, oh, no. I'm getting paid by Delta Downs. I'm getting paid by fill in the blank. We're not going to approve that. And that is eventually what got them. I mean, they were able to hang on for a while with the simulcasting. But realistically, they couldn't compete. And, you know, this thing happened. And now a bunch of good people are out of work. So it sucks. But, you know, he's pretty upbeat about it because he got to do a bunch of cool stuff.
Yeah.
He used to have this replay show on late at night that got really popular for a while. I don't remember. I think it was like 26 or something. Where, like, at 1:30 in the morning, everybody would be in the bars watching this replay show with this goofy dude doing dog stuff. And so he got to do a bunch of cool stuff, but I feel bad for him and the people who work there.
I feel bad for him, too, but it's also completely unsurprising.
No, it's not surprising at all.
Because, horse racing's popularity in the last 20 years has dropped off. Dog racing is almost non-existent.
Well, yeah, they're closing all over the country. And the hope all along and why they kept hanging on was they were hoping they would get to put a casino in there. And that was it. And it just... was never going to happen with this particular state government. And there's a reason why I hate all politicians. You're all scumbags. And, you know, I wish you would all get the Rona and we could start over. But not going to happen. So, yeah, they're done. And, man, it just kind of – had so many just wild times going down there. And for – really, I haven't been much the last few years. Since we started doing the show, I've only been down there a few times. Yeah. But There was a time basically from about 2000 to 2004 before I left the Chronicle. Every Saturday, I'd go drop my kids off with my mom and my grandmother, and then I'd go sit in the simulcast lounge all day, get hammered, and either just clean up or have to drive Canisius' truck. And had some great days there. In fact, the first day after I left the Chronicle, I went down to the simulcast parlor down there. And then we did some, like, this is way back when they first opened, before Sam Houston was open. This is what a gambling problem I had. We drive over to Delta Downs in Vinton, Louisiana, and play the horses all day. Get in the car, catch the ferry to Galveston, go to Gulf Greyhound Park, and then bet the dogs all night until it was time to go home. And you wonder why my second wife did not want to keep me, because I was doing this pretty much every weekend. But yeah, so I mean, I spent a lot of time down there. I had some massive scores there. He ratted me out over a $20,000 score that I didn't want the wife to know about on air one time with John and Lance. That was really cool. But yeah, it just, there's a lot of good memories. It's just, you know, it hasn't been that for a long time, but sucks to see it go. I think my favorite thing was when he and actually credit to him, he started off as a waiter. He was waiting tables when the track opened.
Oof.
And he moved up to track announcer, and then he was mutuals manager.
They had waiters there?
Oh, God. But before, in the early days, that fourth floor clubhouse, that was like one of the best places to eat down there.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and I said, you haven't seen it since Ike kind of tore all that up, and they basically cut it down to two levels.
Yeah.
But it used to be four floors. The third floor was the simulcast floor, which is where I used to hang out all the time. And it's funny, I was talking to Jerry Bowe today. Apparently, he used to hang out down there all the time, too. So we probably saw each other 100 times, didn't know each other at the time. But yeah, the fourth floor, they had this huge restaurant. And that was where all the riches would go. And it was kind of a big deal. It was a nice restaurant. And yeah, and for Lamarck in Texas City, to have something like that. So yeah, he started as a waiter, then went back, got the track announcer job. Then he was a mutual manager. And built his way up, 22 years at that place. So I feel for him. I feel for all of them. But yeah, no, I don't think anybody's surprised. But he would always text me whenever somebody famous would come in. It's like Jeff Bagwell would come up and sit in the booth with him and stuff like that. So one day I'm there for the simulcasting, and I'm going down the escalator, and there's this older gentleman coming up the escalator, and I'm watching him, and he's starting to wobble. And I'm like, uh-oh, this dude's about to take a header. And I mean, bam, face first. On a metal escalator, and I blood and everything else. I'm like, oh my God. And then they're all running there to stop the escalator and get the guy. And I mean, he's got knocked teeth out and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, this is awful. And so that night I'm driving home. I get a text from my brother. He goes, you'll never believe who's here. I just assumed it was Jeff Bagwell or somebody like that. He goes, escalator guy. They let him out of the hospital and he came right back to the track. Jeez. That's what kind of degenerates there were down there. But
well,
yeah.
I remember last year that and I don't know if we ever even talked about this on the air, but I could have told you that dog track was going to be short-lived.
Yeah.
When they, like, there was the firestorm, there was I think it was in the Chronicle, but I may have gone further than that, about them putting down four dogs.
Yeah.
Versus paying veterinary costs. I said, oh,
yeah, that wasn't.
That's going to do
well,
it.
Well, and that's a problem.
And one of them was like, it had a cut tongue.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, we got to put it down. It's got a cut on its tongue. And I was like, dude, there's no way in 2019 you can get away with that and say, well, yeah, we just didn't want to pay the medical bill, so we put them down.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there really weren't dogs down there anymore. The only time they had live racing, the time we were down there. So the most part, they were just a simulcast facility at this point. But they also, it's just hard to make money like that long term.
Yeah.
And you have regulars, but...
Especially now, I mean, listen, you can do a lot of stuff online now. Probably not with dogs.
But, yeah, you can. Sure.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
But I mean, if you can bet horses online, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, I don't think dog tracks in general are going to survive. I thought their long-term plan was to try to be a casino, and it's been a long-term
plan. Is there one
plan.
Left? Because didn't the one in Corpus close a couple
years
ago?
Yeah, well, and they own that one, and that's why they were able to have races, because the way they kept their license was they'd rotate like 1 month of racing between the three tracks, Harlingen and Corpus and here. And I think those tracks are still open, but... They kept the license, and that's why they ran them here, so they could do simulcasting there. But now I don't know what's going to happen with that. But it's one of those things where you miss what it used to be. What it become was, you know, it was not never going to make it like that. And they gambled for 20 years that the legislature would let them get more gambling, and they didn't. So,
yeah, and you know that better than I do. Would it not make sense, like, if you wanted to have dog races, would it not make sense to share a facility with, like, Sam Houston Race Park and, like, build a smaller track?
No, because they're totally different configurations. And the reality is you don't – I mean,
like, couldn't you just put a small oval inside the big oval?
You could, but, you know, it's not really practical.
Okay.
But the thing is, you don't – I mean, dog racing itself, it's not so much about that anymore. It's more about keeping a facility open where people can go and bet legally on other tracks.
No, I get it.
And that's what they were – you know, that's what they were doing. And that means now the only place you can go is Sam Houston, or you can go over to Delta Downs.
Yeah. But either way, it's a haul.
Yeah, it is a haul. And plus, it was kind of cool growing up down there for that we didn't have much, okay? We had Galveston.
Ooh.
That's about it. And then the dog track down there did a lot for the economy, did a lot for that whole Texas City, Lamarck Mall, the mainland area and all that stuff, kind of grew up around it. And so that, you know, that was cool. It's not it's not the same now. But, yeah, it sucks. And I know, I mean, I hate seeing people out of work. This isn't the last thing we're going to lose, though. And, yeah, 49ers, I started as a waiter in 1996. On the weekends, the top floors were packed. In its heyday, it was the place to be. And, yeah, that was the cool thing when it first opened. Man, like, everybody was there. And then the horse track, when it opened, thought they were going to get the same kind of thing, and it didn't work out. And that, because they had a 2-year head start, and the races were faster, and people wanted the action, you know, and it really hurt Sam Houston at first too.
How many dog races would they have in a night?
Well, they'd have like a matinee with 12 or 13, and then they have an evening card with another 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And they would race year round, and you know, that was in the '90s, and it's been long gone since then. And like I said, it was still in pretty good shape until Ike, and since then, it's been an uphill battle, but RIP. Thank you for letting me vent. Now I feel better.
There you go.
Have some fun. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor. Getting to work is a little different right now. Your new commute may be to the kitchen, or the couch, or the basement. If your commute has changed, you could be saving money on car insurance. With pay-per-mile car insurance from Allstate, you get the same reliable coverage you'd expect, but only pay for the miles you drive. Drive less, save more with Allstate. Visit Allstate.com or call an agent for a quote.
Price based on driving behaviors and includes daily rates subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates.
It's time to upgrade your game and get custom fit for free at Edwin Watts with their summer bonus trade-in sale. Come in now through July 12th and get a 50% bonus trade-in on any Callaway TaylorMade or Cobra inline products. Chart out your game with the new Bushnell Tour V5 rangefinder and be the course DJ with Bushnell's new Wingman, the first ever audible GPS and Bluetooth speaker. The summer bonus trade-in sale is happening now through July 12th at Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee. Some restrictions may apply. See store for details.
Fish on! Sign up for the CCA Star Fishing Tournament. You could spend all summer casting for a chance to win over $1 million in scholarships and prizes. Reel in a new boat and truck when you catch a tagged redfish. Or wet a line for 12 other divisions to win big prizes. From sponsors like Texas Ford Dealers, Tilson Homes, and Capital Farm Credit, Academy Sports and Outdoors, Haney Boats, and Mercury Marine. Enter at startournament.org. Sign up now.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about TGS Insurance. Listen, if you own your home and you could use a few extra bucks in your pocket, and let's face it, who couldn't these days, TGS might be one place you could check out, because you don't even think about paying your homeowner's insurance. You just, at some point, you signed up for a plan and you just, you pay it every month and you don't even think about it. You never see it. It's none of your concern. But that could be a problem, because like me, you might not know exactly what you pay per month. You might not know exactly what's covered. Well, I didn't know until I sent a text to TGS and they sent me back a quote and I compared it to what I was paying and what I had covered. And I said, oh my, I've been a sucker. Don't be a sucker. Text the word money to 232323. TGS is going to ask for your address. You'll send that back. You'll get a full quote and proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. You can't beat it. I saved over $1,000 annually. The average customer saving over $900 a year. That could be you. They're open right now. Text the word money to 232323 and start saving now with TGS Insurance.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Space Ghost said his ex used to work at Mall of the Mainland, and she sounds like a real nightmare. So good thing she's an ex. Somebody else asked, I thought they had shut down a couple times. They stopped live racing for the most part several years ago, but they've been there for simulcasting. So,
but we were out there, was it last year?
Yeah, it was last year, and that's when they were doing that one-month meet that was supposed to be Corpus, right?
Yep.
So they were doing that. They wound up running, I think, the last couple years for a month or so doing that. And we were supposed to be out there. I think they did it this year, and we were supposed to be out there, and then something fell through. So don't think they could afford us is probably what it was. But yeah,
I did a segment, probably a segment and a half on Josh's show today about the Ian Desmond, kind of talking about the way baseball is handling their racial divide and why there's so few black kids playing baseball. And I definitely didn't exactly want to get in there and talk about how much youth baseball costs, but it is ridiculously expensive. And I'm getting, like, we're trying to have talk about dog tracks. People still want to talk about this, I guess. I guess a lot of people got charged up. You can afford to play baseball. Almost anybody can afford to play baseball. You just can't afford to play at a high level if you want to keep playing. And there is something to that. There is something to, you know, you're paying to develop at a faster pace, but you're pricing out kids who would otherwise be good enough to play. And it's kind of a bummer, but that's kind of the system that there is. I don't know how that system gets broken. And I know I get what Ian Desmond's saying, but as long as there's, you know, people who are willing to pay it, people are going to, I mean, there's going to be organizations that do it. And the truth of it is, Little League baseball, while, and my younger son plays Little League, and I was saying on the last show, my older son played Little League for a couple of years when he was young, I think up until he was eight. And that's when he was eight is the first year he tried out for select ball. And basically that's where it gets expensive, is when, because in Little League, you pay your dues, you pay your league fee, everyone goes to a tryout, and everyone gets assigned to a team.
Right.
Once you get past that, everyone goes to a tryout, and there might be 12 spots for the team. And those 12 kids get invites, and if they say yes, they put down their deposit, that's your team. These coaches have a list, like 1 through 20, a wish list. We're going to invite them in this order. And if this one says no, we're going to go to the next. It's almost like recruiting for college football or something. But the level of play goes up exponentially when you weed out all the kids that, you know, so for instance, my younger son, who's been playing baseball since he was five. He's now eight. So he's been playing T-ball or coach pitch or something since he was 5 years old. His eight-year-old team, he was on a team with eight-year-olds who were playing for the first time in their lives. So you can see, I mean, in a way, it's not fair to the kids who are developing faster, you know, or the kids who have experience. It's not fair to have to play with kids who have never played at all when the opportunity is there for them to get better playing against other better kids. And it does it leave some kids out because it costs, and it's not cheap. It's not. I don't deny it. It's not cheap, but it's almost necessary. You know, it's not like football where, you know, everybody.
Okay, but let me ask you this: what about the kid who's talented enough to play with those kids, but can't afford to go on those teams? What happens to them?
The truth of it is, there's kids on our team who are scholarship kids, where some parents pay extra money, and that kid's on the team because he's on a scholarship. Because there's sometimes the coaches will offer the kid, and then his parents will email back and say, listen, he'd love to play, but we just can't afford to pay that. And if he's good enough, the coach will talk to some parents and say, hey, do you guys want to sponsor this kid? And that happens. There's one or two on some teams, but if the team is not as generous, then what? I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. How common is that? I mean, I guess it's common, but is it enough to get kids in there who have that skill level? And it's pretty much across the board on almost every sport now. I mean, basketball is the same way with AAU teams and things like that. They recruit to them and try to get the best players. But I think the problem is you don't have a path if you don't have money. I mean, that's America. That's America. And is it fair? No.
But football and basketball are different, though.
Football is. I think basketball's gotten pretty similar. Because if you don't get to those AAU teams, you're not going to get seen by college coaches. You're not going to get, you know, you're not going to get paid a bunch of money to go to college.
Most of these AAU teams, you think they're taking rich kids or are they taking the best athletes? And
most of them are taking the best athletes, but there's still kids who aren't able to get seen by those teams. And it's worse in baseball, I think. But there are other sports where it's the same thing. It's just baseball is the one you're involved in.
Well, and the truth of it, baseball is the one that Ian Desmond brought up today.
Right.
I mean, I don't think basketball and football have a problem with getting enough poor kids involved or underprivileged kids involved. I think
it's
accessible.
But
for
it's
most
evolving,
of them.
And baseball is a more expensive sport. We talked about this before about having to buy all the equipment, having to travel to all these tournaments that you're paying for.
Well, we've talked about hockey. I mean, ask yourself why are there less minorities playing hockey? And socioeconomically, hockey is a rich person's game.
It's
weird to think about when you think about the average hockey fan is like you think of him as some mullet idiot. No offense, but it's a pricey game. You know, it's not cheap to play. It is not cheap to have ice time. I mean, it's an expensive sport.
And it's I think I've talked about this before. My wife's cousin has four kids playing hockey, three boys and one girl. The oldest is now the backup goalie at Prince Albert in the Canadian Juniors, which is pretty high level hockey. And she basically every single weekend would travel around Saskatchewan for these tournaments with these kids and had to buy especially goalie equipment. And you can't just buy it once.
Yeah.
Because the kid's growing, right? So I don't know exactly how much she spent, but it was a lot. And being a part of those teams is really expensive. And that's when you talk about minorities. If you look at the minorities that are in hockey, most of them grew up in hockey families that were pretty well off. They were just well off minorities. Like P.K. Subban's a great example. Both his brothers also made it to the NHL. Well, I think the youngest made it to AHL, but that was a hockey playing family. So it is, you don't have the same path. And I think baseball's kind of the same way. And if people want to view it as elitist rich people, then it's probably fair because that's what it is. But that's also, unfortunately, our society, man. If you got money, you got an opportunity to do stuff.
Jason says, no kid that has played on a tenue has ever made the pros. I'm not sure I'm understanding, but I assure you, kids that are like Alex Bregman didn't play Little League until he was 14 and got on his high school team. I'm sure he was playing elite premier ball, traveling, you know, and playing. That's tournament ball. And he says only 10% of minor leaguers make the pros. Not all these kids that are playing are going to make the pros, certainly. My kid's not going to be a professional baseball player. But could he play on his high school team? Could he get some of his college paid for? Like, the idea that, I mean, in college baseball, that you, if you're good, you might get a 10%, 12% scholarship offer.
Right.
But, dude, when you think about today, what 12% of college tuition is, that's a car. I mean, in a lot of instances. So, if
it's a nice car, actually.
Yeah. So,
have you seen tuition lately?
Yeah. I mean,
you will in a few years, believe me.
Yeah, no doubt. So, that, I mean, a lot of parents, that's what they're willing to invest in hopes that their kids will play college ball or something. And I don't even know if mine will do that. He just likes to play ball. And he wants to play ball with kids that are on his level and not play with 12-year-olds who are just picking up a baseball for the first time because it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Bernardo says soccer in America is the worst. It's expensive as heck. And that's another thing. Soccer and baseball, because I've got nephews who play soccer, and it's expensive. And it's travel. Like, I mean, it's sort of the same model without all the expensive equipment that baseball comes with. But it's expensive to be on these premier rosters, and because they think it gives them a leg up down the road. But these third world countries, it's not like that. That's why you see guys who grew up playing baseball in Cuba with no mitt somehow make the pros.
Right.
And the kid who has the bag full of $500 DeMarinis ends up not doing it or quitting when he's in high school or something. It's a different mindset. And it's the same with soccer. We're never going to produce soccer players the way the rest of the world does, especially doing it like this, especially taking out a massive group of people socioeconomically and saying, you can't play this game. You can't afford to play at a high level in this country. That we're never going to be better at it.
Let's continue this when we come back, because I have an example that could work and that is working in this country that we should be doing for a lot of these sports. But we'll do that when we come back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Blue and Red Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Waymore Silencers, the only one-stop Class 3 NFA dealer in all of Houston, is way more than just silencers. Every pistol in their shop is on sale now. Get your hands on a Smith & Wesson M&P9 or a Sig B6P9. They've got Walters P22s and PPX9s, even a hard-to-find Remington R51 9mm. But you better hurry on in, because these pistols are flying out the door. Waymore has the largest in-stock selection of silencers and accessories at prices that can't be beat. Plus, they've got one of the only in-house fingerprinting and photo services in town. Best of all, they eliminate all the hassle by filing the NFA forms for you. They're located at 15255 Gulf Freeway, Suite 167B, right off the Dixie Farm Road exit, or online at waymoresilencers.com. Waymore Silencers, your one-stop shop for the right to remain silent.
Work at home. Work out at home. Second period math at home. Date night at home. Lately, we're doing a lot more at home, which means we're doing a lot less driving. With pay-per-mile car insurance from Allstate, you get the same reliable coverage you'd expect, but only pay for the miles you drive. Drive less, save more with Allstate. Visit Allstate.com or call an agent for a quote.
Price based on driving behaviors and includes daily rates, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates.
SiriusXM wants to make your summer drives sound and feel even better. Right now, our exclusive entertainment is on free in your car through July 6th, and all you have to do is listen. Enjoy over 100 channels, including music, ad-free, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. Listen in your car, plus stream on your phone and at home. Summer drives never sounded so free. Go to SiriusXM.com/listenESPN to learn more.
With COVID-19 so prevalent, no company can go without a plan. At SecureCom Technologies, our plan starts with Fever, an effective artificial intelligence system for screening and detecting individuals with elevated temperatures in a crowd. You heard me right, a system that will allow you to monitor employees and patrons for anyone that might have a fever. Fever will identify effectively and efficiently without making direct contact. Call SecureCom Technologies at 281-290-8383 and ask how Fever can work for you by keeping your work family safe. SecureCom Technologies, 281-290-8383.
At GiveMeTheVIN.com, we're driving the market, and we're more than equipped to buy more than just one vehicle at a time. Case in point, your oil field trucks and fleet vehicles. Whether you've got one or two or a dozen or by the hundreds, we want to buy them, along with the owner's Lamborghini and everything in between. We have the money and we know the market, and you'll get your check on the spot at GiveMeTheVIN.com, America's best car buyer.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. And it's funny because, I mean, now when I was a kid, we're talking centuries ago, but it used to be, and I think you're developing better players now, because people specialize. But I think it was kind of the same when you grew up, maybe. You played all three sports, depending on what was in season. And you had you had a clear path where, you know, in my case, you play Little League, and then you move on to, I can't remember, I think Pony Colt was the next level. And then if you did well enough there, you played in high school. And if you got recognized there, you'd get to go to college. And for some of us who... like I was injured in high school, but I played Legion ball after that. And a lot of those guys wound up getting scholarships, and I actually had an offer because of the 1 year I played Legion ball, but that was kind of the path. And now you've got better paths. And so they're going to look at select kids first before they go look at high school kids. And you know, if a guy goes to high school and destroys it, then I'm sure he'll get noticed. And it's funny because somebody mentioned this on text line. It's like, a lot of these sports, you know, I don't think baseball and football and basketball and hockey are going anywhere for youth sports or soccer. But as colleges shut down programs, which you already saw UConn shut down four the other day, you're going to see a lot more of that. Then are you going to have these same opportunities for some kids? And Aaron sent us this thing, and I kind of wanted to just spin it back to hockey for a second. It's not just the travel and those things, but I'm pretty sure that Carter not only had a goaltending coach that he had to pay specifically, a skating coach. I mean, you had to pay for different coaches to learn different skills, in addition to the coach who's coaching your team. And yeah, the cost to get to that level. And I think he's got a chance to be a pretty good player down the road. And maybe even, you know, I don't know if he's ever going to be NHL caliber, but probably good enough to play in the AHL at some point. But he's still developing. He's 17 years old. He may turn into a monster. But that's a lot of money to invest. And so Aaron sent us this. And I want to ask you about a few of these and see how accurate you think. This is the average amount put towards sports per child ages 3 through 18 within a 12-month period. And ice hockey has over $2,500.
I guarantee it's more than that.
I guarantee it's probably twice that. In fact, I'm going to text Crystal on a break and just ask her how much it costs.
Like, and this is talking about over a 12-month period.
Yeah.
I guarantee it's more than double that.
Skiing, snowboarding, we don't care. Field hockey,
I don't care. Imagine skiing is a very expensive. Yeah,
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Gymnastics, over $1,500 a month.
Yeah, Aaron was talking about that. Like Simone Biles, he went and recorded an interview that ESPN did. Like we kind of I don't know what we proxied an interview for them for ESPN National, and it's all a bunch of, I mean, it's rich kids.
Yeah.
That's who's doing that.
Well, and I think most of these sports that we're talking about here, now they have one just says other sports. I don't know what the hell that means.
I don't know
what
that
rowing
is.
Rowing?
Yeah, it's crew.
But then you separate that from tennis.
Tennis is an expensive sport.
It is.
Which, it's another sport that I don't understand why it's expensive.
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
But
and I guarantee it would be more popular in this country if it wasn't expensive.
Probably. Lacrosse.
Another sport that I don't understand why it's so expensive.
Because it's a rich. That's a rich kid sport, though.
Yeah.
So that's probably why. Club teams and everything else. And I think registration is, they have it broken down by what costs the most. And that one's got a very high number for registration. So these leagues are charging a bunch of money. Bicycling, okay. Golf.
Golf, of course, is expensive.
It's under $1,000 a year. I don't buy that.
I don't buy that either.
Well, and golf has changed because there was a time where you had to belong to a country club to play golf. So you had to come for money.
But if you were going to have, I mean, if you were going to try to be competitive, how much would it cost you for a set of golf clubs?
Well, it's not just the golf clubs, though. It's the,
no, but I'm just saying just the clubs.
Boy, you can't get out anywhere under $1,500 minimum,
right.
I would think.
And now you're talking about, you know, kids are getting them custom fitted.
Right.
They've got bags. They've got, you know.
Plus, you're changing drivers all the time. There's no way it's under $1,000.
Nope.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I sent you a new article from Time.
Well, quit sending me articles because you're obviously, they're obviously not very good. But like martial arts is on the list, but baseball.
Martial arts, it says it's like $800.
Yeah.
And that's,
baseball is like $700.
But martial arts is like a cheap gym is going to be $100 a month for just your dues, like your gym fees. So that's wrong.
And plus, you have to pay for lessons.
And baseball, it says $750 a year.
I'm guessing you spent that in about a month.
I'm telling you, the spring season alone, between the deposit, your league fees, and uniforms is like $1,200. That's from March to July. That's March to July. So that's 4 months.
Yeah.
5 months. Then you do fall season. So, I mean, it's a never-ending thing. But, and that's not even counting cost of equipment. That's not counting private lessons, you know, pitching lessons, hitting lessons. It's not counting travel, any of that stuff. That's a flat-out lie of a number.
And the cheapest four, in case you're curious, cross-country.
That should be cheap, extremely cheap. Just get your ass out and run.
Shorts and some shoes, right?
Yeah.
Skateboarding.
That is also cheap.
Just need a nice skateboard. Oh, a good skateboard.
You don't even need a nice skateboard.
A good skateboard is not cheap, and it's worth having one. But still, that's a one-time expense for the most part. Flag football. Okay, if you're playing youth flag football, your parents have issues. I'm sorry. Track and field is the cheapest.
Okay.
Which also makes sense. But, yeah, I don't know where they're getting these numbers from. And where did you come up with that? Because I'm looking at the ESPN thing, and it's the same thing.
But you know what? Like, some of these I see, like, and mind you, I don't know. I guess, I mean, it's hard for me to count because I was going to say wrestling. I grew up wrestling, but I also wrestled at school. So it's, if I weren't wrestling at school and I still wanted to be a wrestler, I'm sure it would have been expensive.
Yeah, it's got average cost of baseball, $659 a year.
Yeah, nope. that's just false.
Yeah, I don't know where they're getting this.
Inaccurate
but,
number.
Well, and I don't know. Keep in mind that ESPN's based on the East Coast where there's probably fewer select leagues than there are down here.
Well, this Time article says lacrosse is the most expensive. The average is just under $8,000 a year.
Wow.
Hockey, $7,000 a year. Baseball, average $4,000 a year. That's probably about right. That's probably about average is what I would guess. But also, we live in a part of the country where baseball's more competitive. I imagine if you live in Minnesota, hockey's more expensive there than it would be, you know,
right.
in some place where it's not as competitive. Football, it says $2,800. Soccer, $1,500. Basketball, $1,100.
One said my daughter just made the cheerleading squad at her high school. It cost me $2,000 up front.
That how does cheerleading cost anything except like at your school?
No, but the competitive cheerleading where they go to all these events.
Right, but he's saying cheap. Made it at her school.
Yeah, but I'm sure she's going into competitive. You're not just doing it for that.
Times they are changing.
But
like when I was a kid, you paid your little $150 or whatever for the full season. You got a uniform, which was really a t-shirt, and it had a sponsor's name on it. And your number was probably going to fall off by the end of the season. There were, like, I was one of the rich kids because I had a bat. And on a team of 12 or 13 kids, we probably had about four bats between us. So depending on the size you were, that's who you would ask to borrow a bat. We probably had about five helmets between the team. And I was a big head kid. And the worst thing that could happen is you're a big head kid and the bases are loaded with other big head kids. And now you got to go up to the plate in a size small helmet that's barely covering your ears. You know, we had team catcher's gear. So nobody had individual catcher's gear then. So you were just, you know, you were there. If you were the catcher, you wore the team gear. If you were 6 foot tall, you wore the same gear as a catcher. If you were 5 feet tall, that was just what we had. We had a team catcher's mitt. We didn't have a team first baseman's mitt. So if I played first base, guess what I was out there playing first base with? Same mitt I would play second base with. That was just the way it was.
Our team had one first baseman's mitt for whoever was playing. We just
okay, well, you yeah. guys, you were rich. You must have played rich little league.
281. What about esports? Come on, esports. Can we just?
By the way, I bet esports isn't cheap either.
No, I'm sure it isn't. But let's start off with esports isn't sports, and it doesn't mean it. You know, it's not great for people who are into it. Doesn't mean it doesn't take skill. But esports is like poker. And poker is not a sport either. Let's not pretend like playing games is a sport. It's a game. It's a competitive game. You can make a lot of money in it. That's great. But that isn't in the same ballpark with what we're talking about. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Exactly what you
love to score. She got you. We got you. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Joel Blank here. You've heard me talk all about the services that Apollo Men's Health offers and provides, but now it's going to get even better for you if you're a new customer. You mentioned my name at Apollo Men's Health. They're going to give you a free B12 immunity booster with your first visit. With locations in Pearland and Lake Jackson, call Apollo Men's Health at 832-664-9966 or go to their website, apollomh.com, to book your first appointment. Remember, your health is your wealth. Invest in yourself. Most major insurance accepted and discounts for military personnel and first responders.
John Granato here for the magazine that will take your company to the next level. Houston Real Producers. Many businesses in Houston have made the successful decision to partner with Houston Real Producers Magazine, and your business should too. Houston Real Producers caters to the top 500 realtors in the Houston market. It gives your business the opportunity to network with the best realtors and also exclusive access to some of the top events in the city. Get connected to agents and brokerages that you can't normally access. Find out more at HoustonRealProducers.com or listen to the podcast Disruption Nation. That's HoustonRealProducers.com.
Lance Erlein here. It used to take you 15 hours, sometimes more, to get a homeowner's insurance quote. How about 15 seconds? That's all it takes with a brand new system from TGS Insurance. Get a firm quote in 15 seconds when you text MONEY to 232323. That's MONEY to 232323. Stop giving your money away with your homeowner's insurance and save today by going with A-rated insurance companies for much, much less. Go to TGSinsurance.com for more information. And more importantly, take out your phone right now and text MONEY to 232323.
Guys, if you have been looking at that thinning hairline and thinking it's time for a change, Dr. Linville is here for you. Dr. Linville extracts individual follicles from the back of your head and transplants them to where you're thinning. It's your own hair. And now that a lot of you are working from home, you can take advantage of his virtual consulting. You can get your assessment now, so when things turn around, you'll be ready. Go to 975hair.com to set up your virtual consultation. Dr. Linville wants to help people like you, me, and even himself. He had it done as well. Get your virtual consultation today at 975hair.com.
Did you know online alcohol sales have more than tripled since March? Yep, drinking from home is at an all-time high. And Cheers is here to help fight those pesky hangovers. Whether you drink a little or a lot, Cheers is designed to reduce alcohol's negative effects and help you feel better the next day. It works by neutralizing the toxins that affect your liver and replacing the vitamins you lose when you drink alcohol. No more waking up with headaches or nausea after a night of drinking. It's the best thing to happen to alcohol since alcohol. To use Cheers, just take 2 to 4 capsules after your last drink or before bed. If you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, you'll get your money back. No questions asked. To order Cheers, simply visit cheershealth.com/975 and use promo code 975 at checkout. You'll get $10 off your next order and at least 50% off your next hangover. That's cheershealth.com/975, promo code 975. Say cheers to brighter mornings. Your liver will thank you.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Somebody asked Fred, did you play at Bobby Beach Stadium in Lamarck, or was it called that yet? Yes, it was called that when I was playing there. I played for the Bank of America Indians, and my dad was the coach, and we were good, but we weren't good enough to get past the Amoco Yankees, ooh, who were always the best team. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the team Jeff Banister played for.
My dad worked for Amoco back then.
Yeah, my grandfather spent his life working for Amoco. So
look at us having something in common.
There you go. Finally, it's about time after 10-plus years. But, yeah, they were always the best team. And one year we finished second.
My mom also worked for Amoco.
Did she?
One of the first lady management or, like, foremen.
Wow.
For women.
Wow. Am I
old school?
The one thing I remember as a kid about that, my grandfather was in management, and there'd be the occasional strike, and they would have to get him a police escort to go to work when they were on strike. Weird memory as a kid, but one year we finished second to the Amoco Yankees, and it was kind of at the time there was an American League and a National League, and it was all split up by where you lived. So the National League was basically the part of town that was predominantly black, and the American League was predominantly white.
That's so racist.
Well, at the time, that's just how it was set up. And we played in that third place game, and we thought we were pretty good because we damn near beat the Yankees.
And then you played the black kids.
And they beat the living tar out of us. It was like 12-0 after two innings. I'm like, oh, my God. Thank God we're not in that league. We'd have been dead last. But, yeah, a different time, obviously. But everybody's talking about how much they're having to pay for their kids. And the question is, why? I mean, what's your goal with this? Is it just for them to have fun? I mean, in your case, I think that's what it is, right? But how many parents are doing this because they think it's going to get their kid a scholarship?
There's certainly, I mean, some of the kids that my son plays with, that's certainly like the expectations for them. So,
yeah.
I think it's... There's some who that may be unrealistic, but you can't tell them that.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that if that's your goal. Daniel said, my grandpa coached Banister on the Yankees. I was on the A&A Machine Shop Tigers. I remember those guys.
Nice.
I want to know if your grandpa was Mr. Treadway. That was, I'm pretty sure he was the coach because, boy, they always beat our ass. Man, there's a lot of good comments here. Like, Chad and Spring, my daughter played select softball. We spent nearly $10,000 one year, but most years were around six.
I'm not surprised at that.
Brother Bear says, bad article, but not as bad as that HBO list the other day. True. Jesse said he played golf in college. His driver and putter alone were $1,000.
Yeah.
Each round's a $40 minimum.
So I've kind of told my son, my younger son, because my older son doesn't really have other interests. Like, he just wants to play baseball. That's it.
Nothing wrong with that.
And, I mean, he goes outside and shoots hoops, and he says he might try out for the for his junior high basketball team. And he played football, junior high football. Yeah. But, I he doesn't have any interest in playing them outside of just trying out for the school teams. My younger son, he has multiple interests. He wants to play basketball. And he's at an age where you can't play basketball at school. He would have to, we'd have to pay for him to be in a league. He wants to play baseball. He wants to play the same level. He wants to play select baseball next year. He wants to do jujitsu. It's like, dude, you gotta narrow it down here because, you know, dad can't afford for you to do all this stuff you want to do. It's just not realistic.
Well, that's kind of a shame, but we had. But, you know, again, this is a totally different era, so it's not applicable right now. But we had youth sports year round, and it wasn't that expensive. I don't know what my parents paid for us to play basketball, but I think it's $25 in a jersey for 10 games and things like that. But, you know, we're talking dark ages. And 281 says, damn, Fred, your memory is good. It's so weird. I can remember stuff like that, and I can't remember my wife's birthday, and I can't remember something that happened last week. It's just I don't know if it's being old or what, but I have vivid memories of meaningless stuff. Ooh, this is another expensive one because I did this for a while too. My 13-year-old's been racing motocross since 6 years old. We quit counting at 20K per year, bikes, travel, maintenance, and coaches.
Oh, I'm sure.
Man, I raced for about 3 years, and you just, if you weren't at least like a secondary, if you didn't have at least a secondary sponsorship, you had no chance. Because these kids were getting factory bikes to try out, and, you know, and here I am on the same old XR75. That, I mean, I had it tricked up to go as fast as it could, but they're all on these YZ80s that are straight out of the factory. And all you could do is just go as fast as you can and hope somebody crashed so you could finish ahead of them because you just couldn't keep up. And, yeah, you if you didn't have money in that, you had no chance. So I'm glad my son is a lazy bum. When did youth sports get so expensive? See, I kind of – that's the one positive to my kids not being into sports was I now paid a bunch for my son's chess club and things like that. But it's nothing like what you guys are having to pay.
Well, and honestly, I mean, it's because we know kids. He's got friends who don't do sports. And, I mean, basically what those kids do is play video games. So it's either that or, I mean, you either pay for him to play sports or you don't pay for him to play video games. And I just can't. It pisses me off to watching those kids play video games all day. I won't stand for it.
Hey, get him into esports.
No.
But Mark says, I played at Bobby Beach and look at me now. I used to prefer enthusiasts, but since being a fan of the show, I accept degenerate. He's got a crap table in his garage.
Oh, nice.
You're a good man, sir. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. And Daniel says, Grandpa's name was Clarence Kays. Yeah, I think I remember him as one of the coaches on that team. But I thought Mr. Treadway was the main coach. They just kicked our asses, all I remember. And Jeff Bannister was on that team. God, that is so weird that I remember that. I remember getting kicked out of a game for taking a guy out at second base. Weird, the little things you remember. But he was, hey, there was a runner on third. I was trying to keep a double play from happening. Took the guy out, and the umpire threw me out of the game. And I went back to the dugout and threw my helmet, and my dad kicked me out of the dugout for throwing my helmet.
Ooh.
I was a bad kid.
I got my dad kicked me out of the he benched me once when he was my coach in Little League because I was trying like we were doing BP before the game and I was trying to hit home runs with one hand. And yeah, he benched me.
Yeah, my dad was actually a really good coach, but there are some things you look back on now that I don't think people would find acceptable. Like our practice field, people rode horses on it. So when you're playing shortstop, well,
that never happens at my house or my kids.
But our infield had horse
like hoof prints.
Yeah. And like he would sit there and just and hit like 100 balls at us at shortstop. And if we didn't stop every single one of them one way or another, even if they hit the hoof, you had to run a lap.
Hard time.
But yeah, it was fun though, man. And you know, we got better because of it. I mean, I guarantee you didn't make too many errors after that. But it was also, and you know, it's kind of the same thing. Like that Amoco team that I was talking about, they had the best practice field. They had the best, you know, they get the best players. You know, we practiced on a field that horses ran on. You know, just different.
Well, there is also something, and you know, your dad coached you when you were a kid. My dad coached me when I was young. There is something to having a coach who isn't the dad of a kid on the team.
Yeah,
like, and that's a lot of what you're paying for is for a coach's time, and there's something to that. You know, there's because what you learn about. What you learn about is every parent thinks that the team that should be on the field are the 8 best kids and their kid. And the coach is – this coach is – everybody's paying him the same amount of money. You know, he's going to do what's best for the team.
So anyone asked, did you practice at Jack Brooks Park, Fred? No, this was our practice field was behind Bobby Beach. And we also used to race our motorcycles through there, which is another reason why it was all torn up. And we called it the Honda Hills back then, but I don't know what it is, but there was a field behind Bobby Beach, and there was a huge ditch there that I tried to jump on my motorcycle once to impress a chick and crashed.
Lamont says, amazing we have this topic about sports being too expensive. which, baseball, which is entertainment, but we don't have this conversation about the arts, acting, and music. My daughter was in the band. Her French horn cost me thousands.
Ooh. Yes, a bunch of people talking about band.
That's crazy. Yeah, my kids aren't going to be in band then.
Boy, here's...
Sorry.
You know what? Here's our first Tuesday...
Sorry, kids.
Here's our first Tuesday text. Are you ready? You people have damn talk shows, and you don't effing get it. I spoke on this topic to groups for 30 years. No K-N-O-W wonder. Your libs, Y-O-U-R, must have on-hand dads for baseball. Jesus. 979.
I don't know what he's saying.
Do me a favor.
Before you disparage him, what is he trying to say?
No one knows what he's trying to say because he can't communicate. So obviously, speaking on this topic for 30 years, you didn't know what the bleep you were talking about. Or maybe you did, and you didn't communicate it. How about go back and look at your text again and try to send it again in English, where it makes sense? I know that's too much to ask. How is this? And thanks for libs.
Yeah, what does this have to do with politics at all?
If anything, we sound like pretty entitled white people, frankly. But that's all right, man. We almost made it a whole hour without a dickweed text. Congratulations, sir. You're the leader for... You know what I'm going to do? Worst text today, and this is the clubhouse leader, if you can beat it. I'm going to look up your number on this website I have, and I'm going to give your name out to everybody at the end of the show.
Okay.
So whoever comes up with the worst text today, you're going to... It's going to go public.
I want to, on the other side of this break, I want to kind of wrap this conversation up with, and I really want to get into what Ian Desmond was talking about and kind of put a bow on this thing, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, I'm ready to move on. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.